Projected on screen in the front of the room is one of those Civil War era portraits, a Union officer, crazy beard, eyes that look like he's giving the photographer about 2 minutes to live.
The true most ferocious leader of the most ferocious tribe anywhere in Alaska was probably this dude.
Michael Dunham is talking about Jeff Davis.
He was an Indiana farm boy who dreamed of being a polar explorer one day, and when the Mexican War broke out, he enlisted as a private and went on to win fame in the Battle of Buena Vista.
Davis was single and considered an eligible bachelor among the gentry of Charleston, South Carolina, where he was stationed on the eve of the Civil War. When Confederate artillery opened fire on Fort Sumter in 1861, Davis didn't resort to diplomacy. He fired back. It turns out Davis had a bit of a hair trigger in any case, and he rose quickly through the ranks.
By 1862, he was a general himself under the command of General Bull Nelson in Kentucky. William Nelson was, in fact, a bully. He insulted Davis, who demanded an apology, and Nelson refused, whereupon Jeff Davis shot Bull Nelson dead.
Dunham says that Davis was spared punishment and was given a command under William Tecumseh Sherman, leading the rear guard during Sherman's famous march through Georgia. After the war, Davis longed to head west to become an Indian fighter, but the Army sent him to Sitka instead. Dunham says that Davis developed a grudging mutual respect for Sitka's Tlingit people.
They were not the kind of Indians he was expecting at all. He praised their industry and their intelligence, and above all, their respect for the law, which was incredibly important for him.
But it wasn't always an easy peace. The wall that separated the Russians and the Tlingit now separated the Americans, and cannon stood ready to be trained on Sitka's Tlingit village. Dunham tells the story of a visiting Tlingit chief, Koshlux of the Klukwan Chilkat, who arrived in Sitka in 1868 with 50 warriors to test the mettle of the Americans.
And on New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day probably, Koshlux showed up way after curfew with some friends, and the sentry challenged him, and he snatched the gun away and walked off with it laughing.
Dunham says that Davis understood the nature of the challenge and that it called for a proportional response. Although he could have leveled the Tlingit village, he chose another course of action.
So finally, he walks into Indian Town alone, while his soldiers, who are terrified, stay up on the parapets. Knocks on the door of the house where he knows Koshlux is staying and puts him under arrest. And the Sitka people, true to their white flags, stand by and let him be marched off to jail. One of the sergeants said, "It was the bravest thing I ever saw in my life, and only one man could have done it."
But when cultural conflict escalated to bloodshed, Davis could be ruthless. Following a dispute involving the death of a Tlingit and the retaliatory killing of two non-native prospectors, Davis ordered the village of Cake burned to the ground, a matter that remained unresolved until the arrival in Alaska of former Secretary of State William Seward, who negotiated with Koshlux himself in the Klukwan Whale House. Jeff Davis was reassigned to California in 1873, where he put an end to the California Indian Wars by capturing and executing the chief of the Modoc. The most ferocious leader of the most ferocious tribe in Alaska died in Chicago in 1879. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.